memorial, something designed to preserve the memory of a person. Memorial Day, set apart for the observances in memory of the dead soldiers, sailors, military personnel. And I like to include in there the missing in action. Let's not forget those as well this morning. Very important. Who fought, gave themselves for our freedom. I think one of the great leaders of our past, Ronald Reagan, said it best in this little article. These are his remarks at the Veterans Day ceremony in Arlington National Cemetery, Arlington, Virginia, on November the 11th, 1985. Listen to these appropriate words as he said, "It is in a way an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys. And when they died, they gave up two lives. The one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for their country, for us. And all we can do is remember." What a day this is. Now, I want to tell you as a pastor of a church, I don't think it ought to be a one-day thing that we do this. I think it ought to be many days. And I know it's a fun time and people don't work tomorrow and so on and so forth. But a lot of times what we think about is parties and fellowships and picnics and boating and fishing and whatever. And even though we have the day to remember, so often we forget. I remember a statement someone said, "To be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. Yet freedom is never free. It is always purchased at a great cost." Little did John Adams know how significant that his words would be when he spoke to his wife Abigail one day on the passing of the Declaration of Independence, where he said, "And I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost to maintain this declaration and to support and defend these states. Yet, through all the gloom, I can see the rays of light and glory. I can see that the end is worth more than the means. To those who sacrificed for our freedom, the end was worth the painful means. Where would we," now think with me again this morning, if you will, "where would we who are citizens of the United States of America be today if there had been not been those fellows and those ladies who counted the cost of freedom and willingly paid for it?" But as I make that statement, I wrote myself another little note, and I want you to think with me about this. Where will we be tomorrow? Where will we be tomorrow if men and women of integrity do not come forward today and pay the price to reclaim a dying America? America is dying. And oh, how we need men of courage to stand, proclaim the truth of God's word. John Quincy Adams said, "Posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." Former President Abraham Lincoln, thinking about Memorial Day, said these words, "From these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. Memorial Day is a sacred day to all war veterans. Can I see, by your standing, every one of you who have been one time or another in the U.S. military? Could I see you stand? Whether it's reserves, whether it's active duty, you were at one time or another in the military. Let's give these a good hand of appreciation. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies, thank you. Why remember? Why? Because sacrifice is meaningless without remembering. Who are we remembering? The nation mourns the loss of all Americans who died defending their country through the World War, starting actually back in the War of 1775. What are we remembering? America is remembering those who made the greatest sacrifice possible, giving their own life selfishly. Well, how do we remember? Well, pausing for a few moments of prayer, attending memorial services, parades, placing flags at grave sites, attending patriotic services. When do we remember? The last Monday of May, each and every year. But I'm wondering, as we stop to think a minute, as we try to remember the war dead, the men and women who gave themselves for our great country. And ladies and gentlemen, we do have a great country. America is dying as far as we can see spiritually. But America is a great country. But let me ask you this question. Is it true, I'm afraid, that we in the United States of America today have forgotten what God did for us one day? I'm thinking about the scripture verse there in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. I'm thinking about that particular verse. Remember. But according to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, the generation that Joshua led into the promised land, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely, soon forgot. They forgot that admonition. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose, listen, another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Boy, there's a lot of preaching of why we forget. There's a lot of preaching, teaching, why do we not remember? But oh, how you and I need to be reminded today not to forget what Jesus Christ has done for us and what God the Father has done for us as far as eternity is concerned. Now think with me, if you will, please. This generation, it seems, from what the Word of God says, has forgotten. I'm afraid that we in the United States today have forgotten what God did. We've forgotten the most important point in history. I think the most important point in history is the cross. That tree that some folks just fail to preach about. The cross of Jesus Christ. Because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished by his death on that tree, that cross, the curse of the law has been removed. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. And this is a powerful verse of scripture. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If all that's what I said this morning, it would be good enough now to go ahead and go home. For Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Thank God for that, that the curse of the law has been done away with by the cross of Jesus Christ. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. The cross. We believe on Him. And when we do, we are freed from the curse of sin. And we are freed from the curse of the law. When we receive Him as our Savior, what does God do? God forgives us. He accepts us into His family. He gives us eternal life on the basis of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Doesn't that thrill your soul that what Jesus did on the cross, and I apply that to my life, He forgives me, He accepts me into His family, He gives me eternal life on the basis of what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did on the cross of Calvary. Now think with me one more time as we are today remembering. Let's not forget then this cross, the old rugged cross. I will cherish the old rugged cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. I'm going to cherish the old rugged cross. We're not going to forget it on this Memorial Day. Not only do we remember our military personnel who gave their lives, whether in death or maybe missing in action, but they gave themselves so we could be free. Ladies and gentlemen, just as important, or even more so, Jesus Christ gave Himself that you might be eternally free. What a thought. Let's not forget the cross. It is where our Savior bled and died. It's where sin's awfulness was revealed. The cross is where sin's curse was removed. The cross is where sin's penalty was destroyed. And it was the cross where sin's power was broken. If you say, preacher, I need a touch of God this morning. I don't know, my life is a shambles. My life is a wreck. I don't understand my life. It is so messed up. Listen, the only thing I can tell you is that there is one place you can go, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ, where sin's power is definitely broken. You can be set free. And as I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. Let's reflect on Him then this morning. Let's reflect on God's faithfulness. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God's principles, ladies and gentlemen, as you begin to remember what the Lord has done, His principles never change. He will never fade, and neither will His principles ever fade. They are eternal. This is true of His character as well as a means of Him being so consistent and trustworthy and committed to providing every need of every single child that calls Him Father. He wants to meet every one of your needs. He's consistent. Everything around you may be falling apart, yet God is still moving, and God is still working, and God is still consistent. His purposes will be accomplished. Do you understand that time has no effect upon God, nor upon how He makes His plans and how He makes His decisions? Nothing that happens in our lives or in the world will ever surprise or interrupt God. God knows it all. He has everything under control. He is so consistent. In Him is true. In Him, He made us. Therefore, let us take the time to reflect this morning on His faithfulness. I've got six things or thereabouts to give you very quickly. Write them down if you will. Knowing it is true. Here's some scriptural principles. Go with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Great is Thy faithfulness. You see, every morning, His mercies are new. Yet, how can we confirm that this is true? We can absolutely be certain. Can we? Can we be absolutely certain about God's faithfulness? Yes, we can, because of how he acted in the past. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. What's it say about the Lord Jesus? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me encourage every one of you who are listening this morning, every one of you who are here, those who are listening by radio, let me encourage you to trust the Lord who never changes. He is so consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, but preacher, I'm going through some real heavy times right now. I'm going through some real struggles right now. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. He is the only one who can really help you in time of dire need. He is so consistent. You know he's true. Number two, conditional versus unconditional promises. You may wonder, yes, God is faithful, but isn't that faithfulness of his promise contingent upon our obedience? Now listen to me, everybody, because here's what so many church people think, that God is faithful, but it's got to be contingent on my obedience. Now hold it a second. Stop there a minute. At times it is. However, at times it isn't. Think about this. Many of God's biblical promises are really unconditional. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not or obey him or not. God will proceed with his plan regardless of our response to him. An example of that is his pledge one day to send us a Savior, Jesus Christ. And he came to die for our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did come. He did die for our sins. He was raised. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. It is true whether you believe it or not, or whether you think it or not, or whether you think you need it or not. There was a Savior. His name was Jesus. He did come. Yes, he did. He did die. Yes, he did. He did rise from the dead. Yes, he did. And he is. He is right now seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Yes, he did. Now, whether you believe that or not doesn't matter. He did it. It was a promise. He was going to send his son as a Savior. I talk to a lot of folks every week of my life about being saved, knowing the Lord. And people will say to me, I don't believe it. I said, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe. I mean, I'm not trying to be unkind, but it doesn't matter. It's still true. Jesus came. He died, was buried, and rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession just for you. And you know what? Even if you don't believe it, he still loves you. He's still going to work with you. And I think, as my daddy told me years ago, as long as you have breath, God will continue to work. And I really believe that. As long as you are breathing, God will continue to work. But after that last breath is drawn, it's over. Now think about this. On the other hand, God has some conditional promises. And his conditional promises are dependent upon our submission to him. It is true. For example, we will not actually experience the salvation Jesus offers us unless we believe in him. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Just because you're born in this world doesn't mean you're all of a sudden going to go to heaven. There are some promises here, and they're wonderful promises, but we must respond to him in faith as our Savior and receive the gift of eternal life in order to enjoy it. If you never receive the gift, if you never accept the gift, if you never say, dear Lord, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, if you never do that, you'll never enjoy the eternal plan that God has for you. And that's the truth. Number three, letter C. Now, we talked about knowing it is true. We talked about conditional versus unconditional promises. And how about this one? Experiencing God's faithfulness. The reward of obedience. Experiencing God's faithfulness is the reward of obedience. God will never stop. Now go with me to Psalm 16, verse 11. God, listen, God will never stop being faithful to you. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you have ever goofed up since you've been saved? It's hard to raise a hand, isn't it? But we've all done that. We've all goofed up. We've all messed up, Joe. We've all just really fouled ourselves up. But you know what is so special? God never stops being faithful to us. Wow, what a God. He never stops being faithful. Have you ever wanted not to be faithful to somebody who messed up on you? I know what you've done, just like I have done. They messed up. They talked about you. They run you down. You just said, forget them. I give up on those people. I don't even want to be around those people. You mess up and God says, I still love you. I'm never going to give up on you. And maybe we ought to do that to everybody else, just like God does it to us. Let's not give up. Let's not turn it in. Let's not say, I'm done. Listen, God's still working. The best blessings are reserved for those who obey him. What does Psalm 16:11 say? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How many of you have experienced the great pleasures of God? Have you done that? I have experienced the pleasure of God. Boy, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to say, I have experienced the great pleasures of God. What happens if God reveals the path of life to you and you refuse to follow it, though? Then you will not experience His joy or the delights He has for you. Therefore, this is not an issue of His faithfulness, but it's an issue of your obedience. God has pleasures evermore. That will show me the path. Listen, God will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Here's the path, God says. You can walk this path and there'll be pleasures forevermore. Just walk this path. But what happens if you don't walk that path? You won't have those pleasures he's talking about. It's very simple. But God wants you to have those pleasures. He's there for you. He never will stop being faithful to you. Then letter D, seek God for direction. Think about this, please. So how do we remain obedient to God in order to experience His faithfulness? Now, how do I remain obedient to God in order to experience His faithfulness? The first thing we must learn is to seek His guidance. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 and 6, it admonishes us some great truth. Here's what it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Living a godly life does not come naturally to us, does it? Come on, everybody. Living a godly life just doesn't come natural to us. I mean, you struggle every day like all of us do. There's nobody here that's got a market on this thing. And we say, well, every day I just enjoy living for God. I mean, yeah, I know we do, but it's tough sometimes to live a godly life. You look at me kind of funny, like, you know it is. We struggle. We ask questions like, why? Why did that happen? Why did this happen to me? What's going on in my life? Why is that? God? Are you still there? And we ask all these sorts of questions. You must understand that life, living a godly life, does not come natural to us. Neither does trusting and submitting to God come natural. Yet, He will teach us how to follow Him and live a life that is pleasing to Him. He will also show us that we can always have faith in His faultless character. He has faultless character. Wow. Seek God for direction. Letter E, listen to God. The second thing you must do if you want to experience God's faithfulness is to learn to listen to Him. You know, some folks don't ever listen to God and they don't ever experience His faithfulness. If you're going to want to experience His faithfulness, His real touch in your life, I believe with all my heart you have to listen to Him. In fact, I think that's very important. If you never discover how to hear His voice, you will never be able to trust Him fully or grow from what He is doing in your life. You see, God may direct you in ways that you don't understand. Have you ever been directed by God in a way you didn't quite understand? God, what are we doing? And yet at the end of it, God had directed you in a right way, and all of a sudden you knew what He was doing. But while you were going through that, you did not know what He was doing. So often in my office, I've had people sit in my office, sit across from me and say, Pastor, I don't know what God's doing. I am so confused. I'm so mixed up. I don't understand. What is God doing in my life? You got to listen. Go to Psalm 103, verse 19. God may direct you in ways you don't understand. However, listen to Him anyway. As you do, remember what He says, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He's established that kingdom. He's sovereign, and His sovereignty rules over all. Just trust the Lord. Man, there's been times I don't understand where God's taken me and avenues that He's leading me down. And I thought, now, Lord, what are we doing? And you've thought the same thing. But you've got to remember He is the sovereign God. And He knows what He's doing. Follow Him. Listen to Him. He sees the path ahead of us. When you cannot see it, He sees it. And His great wisdom, He is ordering your steps. He's ordering your steps to fulfill His purpose for your life. You know, see, God has a purpose for your life, and He wants to order your steps so you can find the purpose for your life. Isn't that great how God does that? And sometimes we just don't understand it. His purpose for my life is so important, therefore, I must listen to Him and do whatever He tells me to do, because obedience always brings blessings. I've got to listen. Then, how about this one? Letter F. Watch for God's help. Watch for God's help. Sometimes God will be very specific about what He decides and desires for you to do, or what He wants you to accomplish in your life. Sometimes He's like that. That's because the more difficult the path before you, the more He will have to help you, and He wants you to have faith and depend upon Him. I was thinking about Bible characters where I could prove that that point is so important. Sometimes God will be very specific about what He desires for you to do, or want you to do, and what He wants to accomplish, and sometimes it's going to be very difficult. Now, none of you, and I myself, have not been fed to the lions yet. But Daniel was. Now, what would we be like if we were fed to the lions tonight? God, this can't be your plan. Isn't that what you would say? Hold on, God, this isn't working out. Daniel didn't seem like he ever questioned God. It's amazing. They pitched him in the lion's den. Daniel's a perfect example. Daniel's enemies began to trick King Darius, remember the story, into punishing him for worshiping God, and the sentence was death by lions. Yet he kept his eyes fixed upon the Lord despite his terrible circumstances, and as you and I both know, and it's not a fictitious story, it's a true story, Daniel was saved. Wow. Because of Daniel's confidence that God would help him, even King Darius. Now listen, King Darius, he said, put him in the lion's den. King Darius praised the Lord. Read the story. Isn't it amazing? You say, oh, God, you're not taking me down the right path. I just don't think this is right somehow. I mean, to be fed to lions? You got to be kidding me. Daniel was saved, and Darius praised the Lord. Got to trust God's sovereignty. This is the key to the trials you face as well. Do not focus on the problems. Watch for God's help. Are you looking for God's help in your life right now? Everybody who's struggling with something? Are you looking for God's help? Are you trying to figure it all out yourself? Or are you asking, God, why in the world are you doing? You see, God is sovereign. He knows exactly what He's doing. Just trust Him and watch for God's help. Look for it. Don't focus on the problems. Focus on watching for God's help. Knowing that God will never forsake you. Is that true? Is that true? God will never forsake you. And He will help you face every obstacle that comes along. And He'll give you hope and perseverance. Is that true? God will also give you hope. Come on, I'm trying to preach encouraging here. Hope and encouragement and perseverance. God will give that to you. Is that correct? He will help us. He will. Now, letter G. We just talked about watch for God's help. Now, here's something I think is very important. As we reflect upon God and remember God, we need to cultivate godly thoughts. Now, you know as well as I do that the world is full of ungodly thoughts. Right? We talked about that just a week ago on Sunday morning here, how that the old devil frustrates us and deals with us and throws all kinds of stuff in our way. And you know as well as I do, over here sits Tessie, and she's struggling with some physical problems, and the Mayfields are struggling with problems, and Wava's struggling with some problems, and there's other folks in this room who are struggling with physical problems, and there's financial problems going on, and there's family problems going on. And the old devil would like to have us focus on those things. We know that. But we also know that we need to develop godly thoughts. In fact, If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, cultivate godly thoughts. Finally, if you would like to experience God's faithfulness, and I think everybody would, then you must embrace. If you want to experience God's faithfulness, I think what you must do, what I must do, is embrace God's word. I am such a firm believer on not telling stories and not doing all that sort of thing, but actually believing and preaching and teaching God's word. I think we need everybody in agreement that God's word is what is the most important for us to have thoughts about is God's word. Think on God's word. Think God's thoughts after him. Think like God thinks. Get the Bible and understand what he thinks about and how he talks. And we ought to think the same way. I've got to embrace his word. As the children of Israel stood ready to claim the promised land there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, he said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You get the word of God. I trust the word of God. God wants his people to be successful, which is why he always admonishes us to cling to the scripture. God, I think, wants us all to be successful, don't you think? I think God always wants us to be happy. I don't think God wants us to be sad and forlorn all the time with heavy burdens. He wants us to come to him. He even said, "Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for thee." He cares for you. Now, cultivate godly thoughts. In the Bible, there are the timeless principles that will help us to live a godly life. And there are the testimonies that will help us to remember God's enduring faithfulness. Therefore, we ought to read it with joy, knowing that it has done so much for other godly men like Daniel and Joshua, David, all those fellows. He'll do the same thing for you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Trust and obey what? The word. I've got to cultivate some godly thoughts about the word of God and get it in my heart. Now today we're remembering military personnel who have given themselves for the cause of freedom in America. But we're also remembering the great cross of Jesus Christ, who gave us the freedom spiritually to stand tall with him as a son or daughter of God. I am free today because I have chosen to trust the Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've not chosen to trust him. There's a reason you've not chosen to trust him. You need to come today and trust him as your Savior. Musicians are coming. I'm closing very quickly. There is no doubt that God can and will keep his promises to all of us. He is absolutely faithful. Can I get a hearty amen right there? God is absolutely faithful. He is faithful. The only question is whether you will commit to seeking him. Will I listen? Now listen, everybody. A lot of us would like to have our circumstances changed, but we don't want to change us. That doesn't work that way. If I'm going to get my circumstances changed, God has brought these circumstances for me to look at and now to change them. Change me. I've got to start listening to God, listening to his commands, watching for his help, embracing his word. God wants the very best for you, I think. Not I think, I know. God wants the best for you. Come on, amen. Whatever you're struggling with, he wants you to not go astray. He wants you to stay in the center of his will. And you will always experience the best he has to offer if you stay in his will. Now think about those seven things. Knowing it is true. Conditional versus unconditional promises. Experiencing God's faithfulness. Seeking God for direction. Listening to God. Watching for God's help. And cultivating godly thoughts. Those last four points are so powerful and so amazing, I think. They will help you stay in tune with God if you'll just do it. In fact, If you stay in the center of His will, you will always experience the very best that He has to offer. Now listen, that seems like a better deal to me. I just want to stay in the center of His will. And He'll give me the best He has to offer. Wow, can you believe you can have the best that God has to offer? That's awesome. Now think about this and I'm done. Will you trust Him today? Will you submit to Him today? And leave all the details of your life to Him. He's capable. Don't miss out this morning on His blessings because of doubt. Just simply trust Him and obey. When we trust and obey. Somebody in this church perhaps need to step from their seat, walk to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure of what I need to do, but I need to change my life. My life is not going very well. And I just need to change my life. And I want to publicly come forward and profess the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to come today and trust Him today. Oh, I may have tried that before and I thought I gave it all to Him, but you know what? I don't think I've given everything to God. We're here to help you today. We're friends. Trust and obey. God's faithfulness. Let's be reminded of that faithfulness this morning. And if you will, seek God for direction today. Listen to Him. Watch for His help. Cultivate godly thoughts. Let's stand together, shall we?